We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, Cal fans? We are back with another episode of the Bearcast. This is actually a continuation of our last episode previewing the 2022 season. We are, of course, a proud partner of the Blue Wire Podcast Network. Alongside me, I have Rob. Rob, what's happening?
It's another podcast.
What?
We are back.
It's another podcast.
It's another one.
Sorry, does this work for you?
No, I'm just saying it's another one. It's another one.
Stating facts.
Yeah, I'm just stating factual information. This is a podcast, right? We're not live radio.
Another podcast. We are in Emeryville.
We are recording at my house. Yes, yes. But to open up the curtain a little bit, like, we're recording this podcast like back to back, right? Like, after talking about all that stuff, I'm kind of hyped now. Like, that might skew how I look at the second half of the season now. So take that into account when you listen to all I have to say about the rest of the season.
Let's reflect.
Yeah.
You said that I'm the mayor of hype.
Yep.
Folks out there, this is what happens. You spend time with me and then you buy the hype and then Rob gets in trouble for
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I just bought like real estate in Andy's like hype village in the metaverse. Like, I just...
My buddy Charlie, who played rugby at Cal, he and I will go biking, and he'll always ask me, like, how are things looking? Yeah. I'm like, man, this is the year. And, like,
this is the year.
Every year, except for last year. And everyone was like, what was wrong with you last year? I was like, I didn't feel it last year. But
and
this year,
it was a smart move.
Last year I didn't feel it. This year, I feel it.
You feel it.
I feel it. There's a lot to look forward to. Like, you have... I've been preaching the benefit of consistency, but at the same time, I'm also like, yeah, like, let's see what happens when you trade a overly conservative quarterback for one that is more like
risk-taking,
okay with risk. Yeah. Like a more risk taking quarterback. And like, what does that mean for the team, for the offense? Does that mean that we get to see a different version of what we've been seeing? That is the optimism. That is the hype. That is how we get to 8 wins this year. And that's why Cal is going to win the Rose Bowl. Yeah, let's go.
Oh, God.
All right, maybe not that far.
The one thing I'm going to check right now is, can we even play in the Rose Bowl this year? Like, is that a possibility?
I don't worry about those things because they don't feel real. I remember when I used to do that, care about that, because it was like a...
Yeah, because it changes, rotate. Right? Yeah.
Yeah, and I was like, you know what? I just.
Oh no! It's a regular Rose Bowl this year. It's a Big Ten against Pac-12.
Okay, so first of all, we got to check even year. Great.
I think it's every 4 years.
Good for Bay Area sports.
Yeah.
So all right, things are looking up.
Okay, things are looking up.
And Wilcox was at the Giants game when I was there. He was very hyped.
Yep. Yeah, he was there with a bunch of recruits, I think.
Yeah.
That was like part of the official visit we did.
I don't know if anyone has ever seen Wilcox as hyped as when he was on the big screen at the Giants game. He's the most, like, you see him, like, we've seen him even in casual settings. He's still pretty put together and, like, not that hyped. And I was shocked. He was hyped.
He was just enjoying himself.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that.
I'm great with that.
Coach is hilarious. Like, I think if you get to know him and you talk to him a little bit more, like, you'll – he's like – when he's talking about football, he's, like, dead serious about football, right? But when you take him, like, off camera and, like, don't talk to football about him, there's not a lot he wants to talk about. Like, pizza is one thing he'll definitely talk about. he loves Zachary's. But, like, I think you, when you – yeah, when you get to know Coach, you're like, oh, yeah, you're like – you're just like one of us. like, you're – you're just a normal human being. You just happen to be a football coach.
He's also like the perfect level of famous. There's, I don't know if I think about this a lot with certain, like, there's really good levels of fame.
Okay.
And I think Wilcox is like that perfect level. If you're in Berkeley, you might get like a free meal, or maybe you get like,
get a photo.
Yeah, yeah. That. But like, if you're on a plane and Wilcox was sitting right next to
me, no one's going
to
know.
I don't even know. There's a 50% chance that I'm sitting right next to Wilcox and I'm in my own world. I'm masked up, like headphones in, like don't talk to me.
If he's not wearing Cal gear too, like if he's just wearing like normal formal clothes, yeah, you're not going to know.
And I'd be like,
that's a dude.
Mm, like, what's up?
Yeah. So what do you do for a living?
Yeah.
You chat him up.
Be so funny. Yeah.
Head football coach.
Head football coach of California. Oh, are you, what do you do? That's a podcast about Cal football. You do must just, not be one.
Just awkward silence. Awkward silence between the two of you. Oh, not great.
Great.
Not
everything great. Else that you say on this plane will be used on the podcast. What you order for a drink?
Yeah, most of us say like, okay, so what do you want to say off the record? But Andy's there. Just what do you want to say on the record? Here's my phone.
I actually only live on the record.
But we digress. But yeah, Wilcox is great. He's a fun person to talk to. I highly recommend if you get the opportunity to talk to him in any form, in any setting, I highly recommend it. He's really personable too. But yeah, we're talking about the second half of the season. Not really the second half, but kind of the second half. Like first of all, let's give a slight recap. Because they might be listening to this on delay, and we're recording this back to back. But you said 4-1 is like the standard. You'd be okay with 3-2, 2-3 probably a disaster, and 5-0 is the pipe dream.
Yeah, stretch goal.
Yeah, and I am in agreement with that. What do you think of if that's the case? What do you think of how our bye week is placed? Like, is that the perfect spot? Would you have liked to have seen it somewhere else? Like, is 5 games and then the bye week, like, perfect?
I think perfect world, you put that after Colorado.
Oh, really? I'd actually put it after Washington.
I am okay with that. Either one of those.
Yeah. Because going into that gauntlet of games, I would rather have a – like, because we have to play Washington, Oregon, and then at SC. Yeah. I'd want to give one of those – one break between – three of those games.
Yeah.
I think that's what I would want.
Yeah. So I think that right in that middle of October, it's a little, the first week of October bye week is slightly early.
Yeah.
And it just kind of depends. Like, bye weeks, we make a lot about bye weeks, and they tend to matter a lot if you're hurt.
Yeah.
And if not, or if a team is reeling, something like that, a nice reset. But they can matter less if you can stay healthy. And, you know, when I look, I guess when I first glance at this is, okay, so where, let's say we can forecast off of the worst case scenario of 3-2.
Okay.
And say, okay, how do you get your 7?
Yep.
Because I think that's where a lot of people are at in regards to their predictions, is 6 or 7 wins. So
yep. You're
probably saying, okay, we need 4. So I say Colorado. Your best bets, Colorado, Stanford, UCLA. Sorry. Your best bets are definitely not UCLA. Colorado, Stanford, Oregon State, and Washington.
Colorado, Stanford, Oregon State, Washington. Oh, not UCLA.
What evidence do I have that we are going to beat UCLA? Like, yeah, it's at home. That's great. I don't know, man. Like,
so okay.
Well, UCLA is a weird thing. Like, it should be a toss-up.
There's also going to be no one there at the game.
Yeah, there's going to be no one.
It's already scheduled. It's 1:30 on Fox. on Black Friday. No one's going to be there.
Oh, yeah, it's Black Friday.
Everyone at our tailgate should just bring their Thanksgiving leftovers. That's what should be for breakfast.
Thanksgiving leftovers. That's so fun that it's the day after. Thanksgiving leftovers, and also you should have portable Wi-Fi so people can buy their stuff.
Yeah, buy their stuff.
Avoid the store. So, yeah, I guess that's not an easy path.
Like, that's how you get to just 7. Like, your prediction for the season was 8.
That's why you need 4-1.
Wow.
Okay. You kind of have to dominate the early season schedule here. It dictates everything. It's like the second half is so it's just one of those. I don't know if it's always feels to me as like first and second, or you know, pre bye week and post bye week. But if you're not dominating those home games against teams that you should beat, and then adding in a win on the road in Washington State, like, you're putting yourself in a big hole. Now, we get Oregon at home. I've been saying this for a year, or since Cristobal left. Not a year. But Oregon is a beatable team. That is a winnable game at home. I am not buying that hype. I think USC is a loss. I will stay consistent with that. I also think getting Washington at home, we've historically performed pretty well against the Huskies at home, you know, with Wilcox in charge. And once again, the new coach, like, a lot of changes up there. They lost a shit ton of players. Like, I just think, like, those are games, like, we kind of almost just have to run the table at home. You beat Stanford, you beat Washington, you beat Oregon, and then, I mean, forget UCLA, right? So don't run the whole table. But if we handle our business at home, then this year should be an 8-win team. If we struggle for whatever reason at Memorial, then I think we're just going to be in for a tough
another time. 5-7 year.
Maybe 6-6, but like, that's just not where my expectations are. Like, Wilcox literally turned down the Oregon job. Like, there's, it's just like, it's one of those crazy things that him being so sought after as a head coach by such a big blue blood program sets the expectation that he can indeed take this team to that next level.
Yeah, if they believed he could, why can't we believe he can for us?
Right. We're in the same conference. Like, and so that's
I mean, that's like that's the optimistic version of that of spin of that story, right?
Yeah.
The negative version of that is how those idiots want to take him from us. Like, let them. Like, that's the negative spin version of that. But I mean, here, those okay,
big dummies up in Oregon.
I use the Pick 6 previews and all their stuff. And one of the things I said before the season starts was that I believe two things. I believe this is the best front 7 Justin Wilcox will have throughout his entire tenure here. I'm not sure about the defensive backs. There's some question marks, but if guys can take the next step and so on, we just don't have that production yet. But I think the front 7 is by far the most talented and deep front 7 mm-hmm. he will have mm-hmm. in his entire tenure here. It'll be the most athletic. It'll be the most dynamic. It'll be the most versatile. Like, they're going to be able to do some crazy shit from a personnel standpoint and like scheming standpoint with the current group that they have. The second part of that is I am a firm believer that the floor of this front 7 is probably top 3 in the conference. Because, like, think about it. Like, Utah is definitely, I think, at the top, right? Because they deserve so. Because it's what we're talking about. It's their position to lose. Their front 7 is so dominant. I think, talent-wise, Oregon's right there behind them at number 2. 3's up for grabs. SC's a question mark because they lost a bunch of guys. Washington, like, who knows what happens with their new defensive scheme and all of that. So who steps in at number 3? Like, if you just judge the front 7, we have the most continuity. And I can't say for sure that we have the most talent. I would like to believe we have the most talent. But just from what I see, I think we might have. And like, that's why I go by the Pick 6 previews. Like, if you look at just the front 7 line, right? Just the defensive line and the linebackers, Oregon's They rank them. They rank Oregon 2 for defensive line, 1 for linebackers. They rank Utah 1 for defensive line and 2 for linebackers. And they rank Washington 3 for defensive line and 3 for linebackers. And they rank Cal 4th for defensive line and 4th for linebackers. I'm just going to pull a little bit of a homer card and say I think we're better than Washington.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. One slips out of that and then yeah. There you go.
So, like, so that's the first point I want to make. And I think the biggest thing for all of Wilcox's team is the defense carries throughout the entire season. Not carries as in carries the team. But there isn't significant, there isn't like a lot of valleys and there aren't a lot of like peaks. It's usually very flat line in terms of production. Like it's very consistent throughout the entire season. Rarely will you see like us absolutely get blown out. And rarely will you see us defensively dominate the game to the point where we don't really need the offense. Like it's just, it's right there in that middle point, which is why I think after that bye week is where we'll see this defense really take off. Like we'll see moments, I think, in the first 5 games. And then after that bye week, like once we hit Colorado and they're going to be licking their chops at playing against Washington and Oregon and SC. Like I'm not saying like, you know, they're going to beat them or whatnot, but this defense, I think, has a little bit of a chip on their shoulder, especially guys coming back and some of the newer guys. Like you don't think Brett Johnson is going to try and get someone like killed in the game. the dude hasn't played football in 2 years. Like he's definitely about to just go ham in this league. Absolutely.
Is there any concern with his injury?
He's come out and said like he feels perfectly fine. There's like no issues. The only thing he said is a little bit of a confidence thing and like belief in his body, which that won't come until he actually plays a snap against another team.
Yeah.
And then the second part of it is he said he's regaining some of his like explosiveness and stuff, but that'll come back in like 2 weeks. Like once he starts playing more football and getting into the football reps, I think that'll be there. But he looks like a man on a mission too. So like how crazy is that? Like he's about to become like a senior and we only have seen him his freshman year fully for a full season. Yeah, it's wild to me. So yeah, I think he's in for it. Like just for the,
who's a new member of the front seven that you're excited about?
I mean, Sermon definitely brings some like a nice little floor in terms of production to the inside linebacker room. I'm unsure about the ceiling of the team. Like, I don't know if Sermon's inclusion raises the ceiling of the inside linebacker group. I think the ceiling might have been higher if we were able to give those snaps that we're probably going to give the Sermon to probably one of the younger guys, like a Ruchina or a Trey Pastor, one of those guys to, you know, maybe get it in for next year and the year after. But it definitely does raise the floor because he was, no matter what you say about him, like in terms of his play style or whatever, he was Washington's leading tackler like last season. Like we took it off a direct rival.
Yeah.
Like their number one tackler off a direct rival. Like that means something. So Jackson Sermon is definitely there. Izzy Bohr from UCLA, the defensive lineman. That's him and Carlton.
Yeah.
Xavier Carlton are the two guys where I'm like, we are now able, because of the depth, like we can play some of the younger guys. And if they're not like up to par, we have guys now that, I mean, Izzy Bohr is like only here for 1 year, but Carlton's probably here for 2 or 3. And they're able to like just slot right in and take over those roles. And some of the younger guys can now push for minutes and you don't have to rely too heavily on the younger guys to get production out of. So yeah, the defensive end spots like are absolutely huge with those two guys in there. But that's probably who I'm looking at. But all in all, the reason I bring that up is to say, like, I think the defense will carry in the second half, and I think we're going to see a lot of games that are just slugfests.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You know, all the coaches have saying, like, you know, like, I think Wilcox at media day, someone asked him about, like, what do you, like how much do you want to score this season? He said, just more than the opposing team, which I thought was a great line. It's like a tongue-in-cheek thing of, like, that wins you the game. Like, it doesn't, if it's 14-7, that wins you the game, even if you only score two touchdowns. Like, it doesn't matter how much you score as long as you get the W. So, like, looking at this, like, Colorado in Boulder, like, let's just say we blow them out, all right, just for the sake of the argument. Like, I think the Huskies game here is going to be an absolute slugfest. I think the Oregon game is going to be an absolute slugfest. The SC game is, like, that's the question. Is, like, is it the spear or the shield? You know, like, is it the sword or the shield? Like, that's the battle you have here. Mm-hmm. Such great offensive scheming against probably – one of the best defensive schemers in the conference too. Like, who wins that battle? That's the big one. And then Oregon State, like, I hope we win, but who knows what happens whenever we go up to Corvallis. It just seems like it's like kryptonite up there. Like, the entire land is made of kryptonite. Like, as soon as we touch down on the flight.
It's a beautiful place.
Yeah.
It truly is.
And then we get Stanford, which I think will crush them here again. And then the UCLA game is, like, once again, after Thanksgiving, at home, final game of the season, senior night. Like, that's probably the Joe Roth game, too. So, you wear Joe Roth jerseys on the final day of the season. Like, I don't know. I hope it's one of those games where we absolutely destroy them. But we thought we would do that last year, too. And real yikes.
Real big yikes.
Big yikes about what happened last season. So... yeah, I think that's where I'm at. If I were to put a number on it, I think we beat Colorado. I think we beat Huskies. Do I want to say we beat Oregon? I don't think we beat Oregon. I don't think we beat SC. I think we beat Oregon State, and then we beat Stanford, and we beat UCLA. We get 5 wins out of that second. We go 5-2 to end the season.
Unheard of.
Yeah, unheard of. And I would say that if we go 5-2 to end the season, regardless of what happens at the top, we're probably vying for top two in the Pac-12 North next year. Like, media wise, that's what they'll look at, is how strongly Cal finished.
Yeah.
The season.
Assuming Wilcox would stay.
Yeah, assuming he doesn't get another job offer. But yeah, I would say, let's say 5-2 out of the second half of the season. Let's say the top half we go 3-2. There's your 8-5. That's a pretty balanced way to get to 8-5.
Yeah,
I would say.
I do really think it. Yeah, it's like, handle your business at home.
Yeah,
and win the game. You know, win a winnable game in Colorado.
I mean, you win all your home games. You got 6 wins.
Yeah,
that's the fact.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there, it just isn't a single home game that I look at that I say, like, Cal, it's an L.
Yeah. Yeah, home game wise, probably not right away. If SC was playing here, I'd probably say that.
Yeah, for
that
sure.
One. Yeah.
Absolutely. But they're not. And that's the beautiful thing about this year, is
the even years.
I mean, we're playing Arizona. Like, we don't have to go up against Utah. Like, this season schedule has worked out really well for us.
Yeah, we got the two not good teams out of the, like, the Arizona Mountain School flips we get.
Yeah.
I would much rather face Arizona and Colorado than Arizona State and Utah.
Yeah. Who knows what Arizona State is, but yeah. Yeah.
I mean, talent-wise, they're still up there. Yeah. All right. So my question to follow up, and I think we talked enough about these schedules. So here's my big picture question about how the season ends. How many conference wins, and I've had this conversation with a couple people, how many conference wins is enough to win the Pac-12 North or compete for the Pac-12 North, in your opinion? Because it doesn't go by out of conference, right? It just goes purely by in-conference games. So how many wins do you think is necessary to win the Pac-12 North?
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And we have 9 total?
Yep.
9 total in conference, and then
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
And then to win the North.
Yeah.
But the North is wide open. So I don't know. So 4, 5? Is that right?
Four can't be possibly right, because that's under 500 in conference. There's no... How do you win under 500? I mean, that'd be wild if under 400 gets you first place. That would be wild.
Dude, I mean, it seems wide open to me.
It's like the NBA when the Eastern Conference teams were like way under 500, yeah, still making the playoffs. Yeah, exactly. Like, it's just... So, yeah, I've been talking about this with someone, because if we're saying that Oregon and Washington, right, for the sake of the argument, if we're saying Oregon and Washington isn't as strong as we think probably other people are going to be... Six. You think it's six conference wins?
6-3.
6-3 gets you the Pac-12 North.
Is Oregon going to do better than that, is my question. Because I cannot definitively tell you that Oregon State, Washington, Washington, so, Stanford,
so
and Washington State are going to do better than that.
Oregon's conference schedule, right? At Washington, home Stanford, at Arizona, home UCLA, at Cal, at Colorado, Washington home, Utah home, Oregon State, or at Oregon State.
Yeah, it's pretty cush, except for Utah.
Yeah, so that you can peg the Utah game as a loss, right? The Oregon-Stanford game always ends up being super weird.
Are they missing SC this year?
Yep.
Damn it.
They play UCLA. So, like, if we're saying 6-3, so where does the 3 losses come?
4 wins.
Like, Utah, for sure, right?
UCLA.
You think UCLA?
And us.
And then us? And then we get the tiebreaker?
Yeah.
As we take it? Okay. All right. I can agree with that. Then we look at Washington, right, who's rated to be above us. They got Stanford, and then at UCLA, at Arizona State, home Arizona, at Cal, bye week. Oregon State, at Oregon, home Colorado, at Washington State. Man, that's a pretty easy schedule, too. Like,
they have a, yeah.
They could easily go.
They're going to lose at Oregon.
But they, what I'm saying is, if
they
you look
may
at,
lose at Washington State.
They could go 7-2.
They could. But I don't know. They'll have a hard time at UCLA. I'm just trying to look at the road games.
At Arizona State might be, That's a potential toss-up.
There's no Jaden Daniels.
I know, but they do have a transfer quarterback that's pretty good. They got the guy from Florida.
Oh, okay. Well, all right. So, yeah, I mean, their road schedule, I think, is harder than Oregon's.
Yeah, I would say so. At UCLA, at Arizona, at Cal, at Oregon, at Washington State versus... At Washington State, at Arizona, at California, at Colorado.
Yeah.
At Oregon State.
Yeah. I'm just not worried about Washington right now. And maybe I'll change that. But
do you think 6-3 gets it? Because if that's what we're saying, I don't think we have 6 conference wins to get us to the Pac-12 North. We get to 8 wins, but we won't.
Par for the course. So I think that, like, if
or I guess
you
we
look
do,
at past
no, we do
trend,
get the 6 wins. Because if we beat Davis and UNLV, and then we lose to Notre Dame, right? that's two wins, and all we would need is six wins out of the nine.
Yeah, you get two against Arizona and Washington State in our world of going 4-1.
Yeah. Yeah, so we would get to six wins.
Yeah, I mean six just feels I just feel like it feels on brand with where the conference has been the last few years.
Yeah, someone's gonna eat it. Some team's gonna eat itself, yep. Or the conference is gonna eat itself
as always.
So, all right,
it's kind of 2020-ish.
It is. Well, it is 2022.
Yeah.
So, yeah. All right. So if that's the case, let's talk about the championship game. Who's playing?
It's probably going to be SC wow. versus somebody.
Wow.
I'm so high on SC, dude. I just, like, I know I could pick Utah. I just think it'll be SC. They'll get a middle finger up to the whole conference.
I think, yeah.
And then... Yeah. I just don't know. The North, I think, is a total toss-up. I'm definitely not saying Oregon because I've been smashing them kind of this entire time. So, I just don't know. The North is, it's just, to me, it's more open than it's been. Yeah. Why don't we go crazy? Oregon State versus SC.
Jeez. What happens if Oregon and Washington end up like fourth or fifth in the Pac-12 North?
Well, Phil Knight will have a fit.
I mean, it won't be like a Jimmy Lake situation, right? Like they won't fire either one of those coaches like right off the bat, in my opinion, because they'll give Dan Lanning time to, you know, because they know he's getting everything installed.
Yeah,
but it will be. That's why that could happen in this situation, like because there's so many different schemes and coaches and
it'd be so different if Cristobal was still the head coach there. You would just be saying like Oregon is going to be the Oregon of past, the years past is probably going to be Oregon SC or Oregon Utah championship, and is Oregon's division to lose. And instead, you just have a coach that you just don't know, like defensive coach from the SEC coming up to the Pac-12 trying to reset at. You know, a quarterback position and
defense first.
Defense first, and does that play worse against a Cal who you barely beat last year and lost to the year? Like, it's just sort of like, you know, one of those tough things where I think that it just creates enough of a possibility for there to be zero certainty with the North. And as far as Washington goes, like, you're taking a head coach that was in the Mountain West and trying to assume that it's going to be Chris Peterson after Jimmy Lake literally torched your program. I just do not understand where the Washington hype is coming from. Like that program.
Well, they're just looking at the
decimated.
Roster.
Decimated. Yeah, but they lost so many players in the offseason. I think that is going to be, they're going to be more hurt than what people are seeing, and they do have a good brand with them, but brand's carrying them right now. So, yeah, Beavers all the way, baby. And if it's not the Beavers, then it might as well be us.
Man, you're really on that Jonathan Smith hype.
I mean, someone will step up into it. I hope the things that we're hearing from you about fall camp, about the expectations that Wilcox is setting – I just don't want to sit here and be like, yeah, this is the year that Cal wins the North. I just think it is a possibility. Like, of all the years, this is the year in which we could do it. This is the year in which Oregon State could do it. I'd say everybody could do it except for Stanford and Washington State.
Everyone could do it except for Stanford and Washington State.
I mean, Stanford could reset, like, I can make sense of it for David Shaw. I mean, from what we've heard, right, is that David Shaw wants to get back to the traditional of what they were doing. And their formula has not been proven inaccurate to me. I think that their formula of, like, offensive line, great running back, you know, solid defense, you know, dominate the trenches. We has Utah not run a very similar playbook and done quite well with it? I think that... You know, it's just one of those things. Like, I would hate for Stanford to come back and be good. I obviously root against that for my entire life at any given time. But it's not one of the things that I would look at and be all that surprised by if they were able to figure some things out.
Yeah. To go off like your thing about consistency and standing pat, like I just finished watching a Korean drama called Stove League, right? And it's like, it's a baseball drama about like the front office, everything that happens during like the winter before the season starts. One of the things that happens is like there's this big like steroid like PED scandal, and like all these teams that just lose players for like the year, like half the year. And the team that the story follows, like they get none of their players tagged for PEDs. And because they stood pat and all these other teams lost players and got a part of that scandal, drops, which in turn raises your program, because you can't say that it doesn't, because if everyone else is dropping lower, that just makes you rise a little bit higher, right? So like that's kind of where I feel like we're at, is there's so much replacement happening all across the board, but we've been one of the only teams that has stayed, probably outside of Oregon State and Stanford to a certain degree, that has stayed consistent. And so I think this might be the year where that actually kind of pays off. To kind of pseudo end, unless you have some, if you have some more points you want to talk about, we definitely can. But I got the quote that Wilcox said at Media Days. So the question was, what is a lofty goal that this senior class, or a goal that you've pressed to the team? So this is actually going back to the prior podcast where I was talking about like Wilcox and that. And I think it's a good little thing to end the season talk about. He said, the goal is to win the Pac-12 championship. That's been our goal. We work every day towards that. We know that's a lofty goal. With the guys on the team, the people in our building, that's what the goal is, where it's been set. We have conviction that if we take care of the things that we can control, we give ourselves an opportunity to attain it. I've never heard him say that.
I've heard him say it, but not as definitively.
Yeah.
Like, this is the year, this is the team, if we just take care of it. But yeah, I mean, that's it. This middle to me, Oregon State, California, Stanford, I could see that being the top three.
By season's end?
And then Oregon and Washington slotting in there. I could also see, we've been very negative on Oregon. Keep Oregon in the top and still move Oregon State, Cal, and Stanford into that position and drop Washington down.
Yeah, you easily could. There's not like, you don't have to, there's not much rationale you have to give to like convince someone of any of these different scenarios.
Yeah. I mean, last year was a perfect example of this. Like, if we win that Oregon game, we still had a legitimate chance to go and win the Pac-12 North.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
We're in it. We just, you know, it was so close. So it does feel like it's right there for us in a way that, you know, it won't always feel that way. Football will inevitably have its ups and downs, but I do think that Washington and Oregon are about to experience some of the downs. You know, you replacing coaches, if it were that easy, people would do it every year. As we've seen with Mark Fox. And we started with basketball and we ended with basketball.
Why? Okay, anyways. Is there anything else you wanted to talk about Cal football, maybe fall camp before we close out this podcast? Of course, we'll have another one whenever you're listening to this. We'll probably have another one up after this with our predictions of the season. But
what's one thing that you personally would like to see happen before the end of as fall camp wraps up?
As fall camp wraps up, this is a lofty one, but I hope that we have an offensive identity come the end. Like, of course, I don't think that's going to happen. I think that's one of those things that you find out like within the first few games of the season. But like, are we run first? Are we play action? Are we like built around the pass that helps the run? Like, what type of offense are we going to run? Because we have so many weapons. Like, and it sucks to say this, but I can pretty much unequivocally guarantee this, that we're going to have transfers going out of the program due to attrition, because guys aren't just going to get the playing time, particularly in that running back room, in my opinion. I would be very surprised if none of those running backs transfer. They're all so talented. Like, I don't want to be in that room deciding who gets snaps and who doesn't, because every single one of them so far that I've seen, they're really all good. They're all different, and they all have that burst and top speed that we haven't had here since probably Kalfani Muhammad. So, yeah, that's the room. But yeah, offensive identity is probably mine. What about you?
I think it actually would be just to take the running back situation and have someone. I think we've looked at like Ott as providing that explosive. I just think like finding a resource for explosive plays. So whether that's like Jermaine Terry emerging as like, holy shit, this guy's really good, or Jaden Ott emerging as like, oh my God, he can spell as like a job at best early on in his Cal career. But somebody really showing up in a way where it's like those flashes, like where you're coming back and you're like, dude, like this catch that J Mike had today, or this play that Hunter did, you know, like something that's building that excitement towards, wow, there's somebody to watch here that can be a dynamic player and really set this offense up to kind of work around them would be great.
I think that's a perfect way to end today's pod. Right? Yeah. We good? All right.
Let's wrap it.
That's it for us here on the Golden Bearcast. Of course, as usual, you can find me on Twitter at Rob11HWANG. You can find all our written stuff at writeforcalifornia.com. If you're listening to this right now, our positional previews are up, so go take a look at that and, you know, judge the depth chart and the players to your own understanding. And you can find Andy at
Nobody Knows.
Nobody Knows. Andy is the international man of mystery. It's like, where in the world is Carmen Sandiego, but like the Andy version.
Just wait until the season starts.
Yeah. It's hilarious because like this is a side story, like to open back, to curl back the curtain a little bit. Like I'll text Andy, like, what are you doing? Like, where are you at? All of a sudden it was like, I'm in Colorado or like I'm skiing in Tahoe. Like there's no consistency whatsoever. There's just a given that the only consistency is that he'll be inconsistent in where he is.
Yeah.
He might be here. He might be on the East Coast. He might be like somewhere in the Caribbean. He might be in Mexico. Like, I just don't know where he is at any given time. I'll just find out whenever I ask him.
All those are on the list.
Once again, that's it for us on the Golden Bearcast. And as always, go Bears.
Go Bears.